He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Let's go to verse 4. Then an herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. Let's go down to verse 12. There are certain Jews whom among thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Verse 16 and 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were some very bold men. They stood before the king that had the ability to kill them, not knowing exactly what he was going to do, but his commandment was, the king's law, decree was that he would kill them if they didn't worship him. They stood before him and said, we're not going to worship you. That took some guts. That took a lot of strength for them to say that. We will not worship you. Our God is able to deliver us. He will deliver us. But if not, we will not worship you. So we know the story that they were actually thrown into the fire. The king was mad and they did not burn. They took a stand and they had some standards. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, thank you so much for loving us, for being so good and kind to us. Thank you for being our God, our King. Thank you for being a God that has made yourself known unto us in very specific ways that we can easily understand. And I ask that you'd help us today, Lord, as we learn from you, that you'd help us to strengthen our faith today. I ask you bless the message. Help us to hear your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Joshua chapter 24, verse 14, it says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served in on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Today, I'm going to teach you a little bit more about standards. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had some standards, and they were willing to follow them. They had a conviction about the standards they set, and their standard was that they were only going to serve the true Almighty God. That was their standard, and they did not waver. Joshua laid down his standard. You can serve those gods or these gods, whoever's gods there are, but you need to choose which God you're going to serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He made that standard. Both of these people that we're talking about, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and then we have Joshua here, they were all had one verse in mind when they made this statement. And two verses, and these take a special place in my heart. Deuteronomy chapter 6, 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Verse 5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. God gave them two verses, a commandment. And he says, above all things, put this number one. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego looked to those verses. Joshua looked to those verses and they said, we will not waver. We've set a standard and we are going to follow that standard. Amen. So there's different types of definitions we can use for the word standard and get into some other words. So I'd like to take a second to define some of those things. So let's look at a commandment. A commandment, by definition, is a divine rule, a precept in the Bible. So when you look at Bible, a commandment is also referred to as precept. And then it says, a precept is a very narrow thing. So we have precepts, commandments that we look to, like such as the Ten Commandments. They're very narrow. Thou shalt not kill. That's a very narrow commandment. That you can't make an exception for that. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. There's no exceptions for that. Very, very narrow, right? And it's and in the Bible it calls them precepts. When you break the commandment, it is sin. Simple as that. It's just they're black and white. Then you have standards. A standard is a level of quality. It's a boundary. A standard is a rule that you live by. Now, in some cases, you can break a standard and it's not sin. But in some cases, when you break the standard, it is sin. And when you break the standard, it leads to sin. Right? So there's a difference between a commandment and a standard. Also, the Bible word for commandment is a precept. The Bible word standard is a principle, right? So there's certain principles that you live by. Those are the standards that you set up in your life as a guide, right? So that's what a standard is. It's a guide. It's a level of quality, a boundary. And then we also have convictions. We should have convictions about all the commandments, right? Thou shalt not kill. We should have a conviction that we're not going to kill, right? And normally standards you have convictions for, but you don't necessarily have to, you know, like, I just don't, in some cases you can set up a standard in your life and it has nothing to do with sin, such as, I just don't like mushrooms. My standard is that I don't cook with mushrooms. That could be a standard, right? Just in a general sense. But when we're talking about Bible stuff, normally the standards you set, you have convictions about, and that's why you set them. So if a commandment is a divine rule, so what is a rule? It is one of a set of explicit or understood regulations or principles governing conduct within a particular activity or sphere, right? So it's just rules we put in place, you know, in the parking lot. We park in between the lines. It's kind of a given rule. No, we don't have a sign saying park in between the lines, but it's just a general rule. That's how the parking lot. That's a rule, right? Right. If you park like some people do, and it's not necessarily straight, close to the lines or something, it gets people upset. But you're not going to go to jail or something like that, right? You may have some words given to you, but still, it's a rule, right? So let's define what a law is. A law is a system of rules which a particular country or community recognizes as regulating the actions of its members, which it may enforce by the imposition of penalties, right? So Israel took the commandments and made them laws, right? But the commandments were given to them first by God. It was a divine rule, and then they made the laws. And actually, we in America have taken a lot of those same commandments, and we've made them laws, but we never refer to them as commandments, right? But you can look at almost all of the Ten Commandments, and they are our laws. Coveting's not in there because we don't want the government controlling our thoughts, right? But it's a good idea not to murder people. It's a good idea to have that as a law, right? So there's a difference there. But today we're going to talk more about standards. And standards are important, and standards can sometimes be dividing issues. But standards are very crucial for a Christian in their life to live spiritually. And you might say, well, I don't have the same standards as somebody else does. And you don't have to. There's some standards that are more preference. As we talked about, some people don't like onions, some people don't like mushrooms, you know. Those aren't necessarily even spiritual standards, but in some cases, some people may not eat certain meats because of what the Bible says, and they've developed a standard on that. Well, they can do that, but in the New Testament, we knew that God says you can eat whatever, you know, to a certain extent. So we have standards that we're going to talk about today. So let's look in, I'm going to read verse 40, but turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 22, verse 12. And I'm going to read to you Psalms chapter 19, verse 1, while you're turning there. It says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. So a lot of times when we view God, we like to put him in the same type of box that we ourselves are in. For instance, I have a birth date, November 15th, 1983. That's my birth date. I know when that was, and I have people that give witness to when that was. And I know, just looking at history, that I will have a death date. I don't know when that's going to be, but I know that it's coming one day, unless the Lord returns. So a lot of times we try and put God in that same box, and we try and say, well, God has a start and he has a beginning and then he has an ending. Well, he doesn't. He exists outside of our beliefs in the fact that he created everything that we see. So he put things in place, and I think about this sometimes because the questions sometimes posed, what did God do before he created us, right? Before he created this universe, before he created everything, what did God do? And I could just about imagine, you know, the Bible talks about how God has good thoughts, right? If he thought this through, or if he was just able to, like, you know, within an instant say, I'm going to just create this world, you know what I mean? And everything was already perfectly planned out in his mind, you know what I mean?
That's right. Amen.
And so, but when he created everything, it's interesting that everything worked exactly the way it was supposed to. There's some people think that he created everything and there was like 6,000 years and he had to redo everything and come back because it wasn't perfect. No, I don't believe that. I believe there was 6 literal days that he created everything.
Amen.
And in doing so, everything is functioning the way he wanted it to function. So he, in his existence and our creation, provided us with standards. So as a result, we have formed science. So we get science from God's creation. So let's get a definition, a little bit of what science is. There's what they call the scientific method, right? A scientific method is observation. There has to be an asking of a question. There's gathering information. There's forming an hypothesis. There's testing the hypothesis. There's making a conclusion. There's reporting. And then there is evaluating. So there's 8 steps in this one that I've read to you. But there's also discrepancies within that. Some people say that there's 7 steps, and some people say there's 9 or 13. There's all kind of different ways of coming to conclusions of what actual science is. But there's a true definition of what science is. Science is just a view of how God created things.
That's right.
So scientists can say whatever they want about anything. But at the end of the scientific method, that last one is evaluating. You can go through all those steps, but at the end you have to evaluate what you've done because it could be different than what you're thinking. Because when God stood on the bounds of nothing and he created this world, he didn't do that with our input or approval. And now that we are in existence, he still does not need our input or approval, because he has set things in an order that work. And it's by his standard that everything exists. Now we, in our existence, have tried to organize things in a way, and humans are good about doing that. We like to organize things. We like to make our list. You know, we had the Baptist distinctives, the fundamentals of the faith, you know, things like that. We put things in orders. We have our different steps of salvation. We can break those up into just four different simple steps of salvation. And we like doing that. So we have, in our world, we have based standards off of what God has created. And so we have a lot of standards just off of creation that we've done. And so we try and get everything in order. And so there's a lot of standards that we use every day. I am a man of standards in multiple different ways. I come to church and I have standards. I want to be here early. I want to wear nice church clothes. I want to use a specific book. I want to be part of a specific type of church, and I have developed standards. I read, get up in the morning, and I read my Bible. I have standards for that. I have standards about prayer. I have standards on how I want to train my kids, and that's all within the realms of Christianity, right, coming from this book. But outside of that, I deal with standards every day at work. And I've brought some standards with me today at work that I use at work. And I want you to picture in your mind a standard. Can you picture a standard? Normally when we talk about standards, it's like more of a commitment or a rule you've placed in your life, right? Well, I brought some standards with me today because every day at work, there's things that I do that I need those standards. And without those standards, my job is worth nothing. So I brought with me today several different types of standards, and I'm going to show you one of the basic. I'm a machinist by trade. I work with metal, and I have to do specific things with that metal in a specific way, and everything I do at work relies on a standard. This is actually a standard, and I don't know that anybody's ever seen something like this. Brother Jeremy, have you ever seen a standard like this? Do you know what it is? It's a standard. It's a small little thing. Okay, I got a bigger one. This one is different. And I have these covers on them because these are finely tuned, calibrated instruments that I use at work. These never touch parts that I make, but these are crucial to every part I make. And this one is exactly 6 inches long. And so all of my tools that I have are actually calibrated. So let's break out another standard. We've all used one of these, right? Rulers and stuff. It's a standard. So if I take this standard and I measure it, I get exactly an inch. Now, this tool is not a good measuring device to check this standard. So let's get something a little bit finer. And another tool I use every day at work is a pair of calipers. Now, these measure quite a bit finer than this tape measure, right? So I can take these calipers and I can measure and see right there it lines up right at an inch. But I can get finer than that. So I have what's called a micrometer. Now, these read within thousands of an inch. So if you divide an inch into 1,000 pieces, this reads in one of those 1,000 pieces. This is a micrometer, and it also reads in thousands, but it reads finer than that. If you were to take one of these, it reads in 10,000. So if you divide an inch into 10,000 pieces, I can read the accuracy of 10,000th. That's 4 decimal places. Now, this would be 3 decimal places. 4 decimal places. So if I take this standard, and the standard never changes, but the tool can, just from where, if I drop it. So if you could see that, I know this is small, but there's a 0 right there, and it lines up perfect on the 1 inch. Now this is an interesting tool. It's one of the ones that has its own standard built in, because it goes from 0 inches to 1 inches. So I can take this thing, and it takes a little while because you have to screw it in. And I can close it all the way, and it reads right at 0. Right. So what are some things that today we could measure that would need this type of accuracy. Well, there's a lot of things around us that work within these standards that we deal with every day, and we really don't even take thought of that. Can I get a hair? Has anybody ever thought about how thick a hair was? Can I get a hair from you? Yeah, seriously. I just need one hair. All right. Where is it? There it is. All right. So, has anybody ever thought about how thick a hair is? Let's see. I already know. Finer than that. All right. So this hair is 2.2 thousandths. So 0.0022 is how thick my wife's hair is, right? Now, if you were to break this hair up in 22 pieces, that's how fine this micrometer actually reads. And there are micrometers that actually read finer than that. So what does all that mean? Well, I make metal parts at work. I make plastic parts, brass, aluminum, steel. And every part I make, I'm given a print. Now, you would probably look at that and say, okay, that's just a bunch of circles and lines and some numbers. What is that? But I look at this and I see this is a part, a specific part that goes down in the earth, and it has some special gauges that attach to this. And as a result, they produce information that puts oil in your car, or gas in your car, or in your furnace. So as a result of this part, you, in a way, got here to church this morning, right? I've made a bunch of these, and they're all over the world. And it would not surprise me if one of you got to church today using one of my parts that I've actually made. And in my career, I've probably made hundreds of thousands of parts. So I've probably made parts that you have had a result of in your life. But in this print, not trying to get too sidetracked here, but there is a scale right here that tells you tolerances of what these numbers mean by decimal places. And so that's because of that and this. I could send this and this all the way around the world, and with just this and this, somebody all around the world in a different language on a different machine can make the same part, and it does the exact same function and works with the other parts it's supposed to work with. Why? Because of some standards. Now you might say, well, Brother Brandon, I don't have a job like that. I don't make finely tuned parts. But every single one of you work with standards. Everyone works with standards. This building, if you were to look at the 2x4s, they're spaced apart in a standard that engineers have put together, and it's an American standard of how to build a building. And if you follow just these basic standards, you can build a building and it will stand and not fall down, right? Just so happens today, I'm preaching some notes on a standard of paper. And it's a good thing that this standard of paper is the right size, because when I put it in my printer this morning and I printed it out, it came out and printed right. Along with that, there's these words in English, and we have an English standard, and some other countries pervert our English standard, or did we pervert their English standard? I don't know how. Anyways, and as a result, I'm up here and I'm talking to you in a standard of English, and we all understand that. So there are standards all over. When you drove to church this morning, you were on what side of the street? In America, there's a standard of being on the right side of the street, and you stopped at a stop sign or a red light, and you went at the green light, and if it wasn't for that standard, you may have not made it to church this morning. So standards are important and crucial. Without them, it would be hard for us to exist, really. If there was no way to communicate with people, or if there was no way to do that, Brother Titus has a Subaru Outback, and Brother Coy has a Subaru Outback. Miss Linda over here has a Subaru Outback. And those parts, you can take one off of one vehicle and put it on any of the other two vehicles and they work. How is that possible? Because of standards, right? Where did this little guy go? That's how everything works together. So we as Christians, we need standards. Revelation chapter 22, verse 12, you should be there. And it says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha, I am and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates to the city." Now, I'm thankful that we have a standard that we can live by in God. Amen. He doesn't change. He doesn't waver. Amen. He was there in the beginning, and he'll be there in the end. And he promised me, he says, "You trust in me, I'll give you eternal life." And I can trust in that standard. And as a result, I lay my head on my pillow every night. I say, "Thank you, Lord. Right. One more day, I'll wake up in the morning. One more day, I get to live in the grace of the Lord. Because he saved me from sin. And I don't have to worry about dying and going to hell. Because God is faithful and consistent."
Amen.
True science is understanding how God created things.
Right.
Standards are applied to that in order that we can live an orderly Christian life. Some things can be measured, but some things can't. You know, actually, this standard's changed a few times. And technically, we actually, in America, have signed on in like 89 or something. We were going to, it was earlier than, quite a bit earlier than that, maybe in the 1800s. We signed over to change over to the metric system. And so how did we all get on the same standard? Well, actually, we don't measure a true inch by inches. We actually measure a true inch by meters. And then so who came over with the meter system? The French did. How did they come up with the metric system? Well, they got a measurement from the North Pole to the equator, and it's through light now. And light, they may tell you this, light is a consistent, but it's not. It actually changes. There's actually not a perfect way to measure light. But that's how we get this inch standard. I'm kind of getting a little deep here. But God holds the standard. And the scientists may say light is, but God's the one that said light is. And in all actuality, light is not consistent. There's things like black holes. And how do we know it's a black hole? It's because it changes light. There's no way we can explain what a black hole is because we can't even get close enough to it to understand it, because supposedly it will suck us in. But light changes in a black hole, so light isn't consistent. And even through the gravity, shine a light through the atmosphere of Earth, light changes. So light isn't consistent, but that's how we use that to get all of our distance measurements, is based off the standard of light. Einstein was a smart man, but there's a few things he couldn't quite understand because he wasn't God. And God holds the standard. And if God at one point wanted to say, "We're going to change that," he could. But he's left it consistent so we can function. So we have God in his existence as a standard. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 12. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's see, how am I doing on time? All right, we're getting on the short end there. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll read there in verse 13. And it says there, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. From a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, Timothy was a man that was taught the scriptures, and I appreciate this passage of scripture because it also gives us insight that God inspired the word of God. So the book that we have is a standard that we can go to, and it is consistent, accurate, without error, never wavering, to the point where it says at the end of that verse, and I really like that, and it says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, it has been said that in the Bible, you can go to it for every single circumstance in the world and find wisdom and knowledge and understanding and precepts on how to deal with that specific situation, but the Bible doesn't have every single situation written down. But he's given us enough here, a standard that we can go by, that at the end of life, we can look back and we say that God gave us what we needed to be perfect. And beyond just being perfect, thoroughly furnished, everything can be fine-tuned according to God's word so that we can stand before God and say, I've done what I could, and God can say, well done. Because of God's standard. Yesterday, we were out doing free Bibles, and a man came, drove up, and he said, hey, we already go to church, but I just want to see if I can get some free Bibles. I teach a class, kind of like a Boy Scouts class. He was kind of saying it was like a youth group. And he says, in class, we have some Bibles, but they're not all the same. He says, I always want to see if I can get 10 Bibles from you so that way we can all be reading out of the same book. Amen. He says, because sometimes I read and he'll read something else and he'll read something else. And I was like, man, that's kind of crazy. So I said, hey, man, is there something I can pray for you about? I said, sorry, we don't have enough Bibles to give to you today. But is there something I can pray for you about? He said, pray for my kids. And then we started talking, and then I started mentioning a few things, and I started saying, well, hey, do you know if you went to heaven, could you give God a Bible answer on why God would let you in? He's like, well, you know, he's saying a few things, and at the end of it, he said, really, I don't know. And I'm like, wow. Well, in my mind, I'm thinking he has a problem with the standard. He's looking at a few different versions, and and he's being confused, and even the pastor that he has doesn't know what to tell him so that he can even be saved. Well, he confessed that he's been baptized and did some spiritual things, but he doesn't know what the standard says. So that way he can plainly look at God and say, I want to be saved. He doesn't know that because his standard is off. And I'm thankful that God has preserved his word, and we can look at it as a standard. And just the same way you can pick up a tape measure, actually, and more consistent than a tape measure is, God's word is better. And you can pick up your King James Bible. All of them say the same thing. Even going back to the Greek and the Hebrew, it's the same thing. Because God is a God's standard. There was a junior higher that wore a gold bracelet to school. He was going to a Christian school. His family was pretty unstable, but they were faithful in church, but they weren't really solid members in the church, but he was able to go to school. This is back in the 70s when men didn't wear stuff like that, and it was becoming faddish and worldly to do things like that for a man to wear a golden bracelet to work. So the teacher took him out of class, and she said, son, I just want to let you know that we can't wear golden bracelets to this school. Because, he said, well, why? I don't understand that. He said, well, that's a worldly thing, and back in the 70s, men didn't do stuff like that, right? Yeah. Things were starting to creep in from the world into the church, and she started explaining to him, well, there's standards, and this is the world, and we don't dress like the world. And he said, we don't dress like the world. He says, why wore underwear today? Should we? And the world wears underwear. Should I not wear underwear? We don't get our standards from the world. We get our standards from God.
Amen.
And it's a very important thing, because if we look like them, then we really are them. How can we bring them to God's standard if we're the same thing?
Right.
We have to have a standard that we stand upon. The more we imitate the world, the less credibility we have. The more we imitate God, the more standards we have. Let's go on. 2 Peter, I'll read that real quick for you. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 17, it says, "For he received from God the Father honor and glory, and there came such a voice unto him from an excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto we do well that we take heed to." Peter heard the voice of God. He was standing there with Jesus, and he heard the voice of God ring down from heaven. And he said, "But we have a more sure word of prophecy."
Amen.
And it says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto we do well that we take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, till the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy is given of Scripture, no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation." So the Bible has one interpretation. No matter where you look at in the Bible, there's one interpretation, many applications. But the Bible doesn't change in what it says. We can just apply it to different aspects of our life. God's word, God's commandments and standards are not subject to opinion. We can't change that. I can't go to my boss and say, "I want to change this. I think if I change this one, I can make everything better." There was a machine shop that I interviewed at once, and they were making some parts, and they had the mating part, and they took it, and they said, "This doesn't fit right." So they modified the part different than what the print said, and they made 6,000 parts, and they sent them to the customer. They worked better than what the customer designed, but the customer looked at them and said, "No, this is not what I told you to make," and they sent all 6,000 parts back. The parts were better. And he thought that he could get away with making a better part, but that's not what the customer wanted. We can't go to God and say, "I think this is better."
Amen.
God's word is settled, and our opinions don't change that. We have to look to the standard and acknowledge it as a standard that it does not change. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that we have been occupied therein." God, as a standard, is consistent. He doesn't change. We were just talking about that. When I wake up in the morning, it's the same God. When I go to work, he's the same God. When I'm in pain, he's the same God. When people die, he's still the same God. When people are born, he's still the same God. When I go through sufferings, he's still the same God. At no point in our life, whenever what we're going through, God does not change. Sometimes we like to get mad at God and say, "No, that's not right." But God is still the same God. And if we trust him to be the same God, and we look at his word as being the same, then we can formulate some standards, and that helps us to be a profitable Christian. Let's go on. I just have two more points for you today, and then we'll close up. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Interesting story. We put a telescope in space. Actually, it was like a Mars Land Rover. We put it in space, and it got to his designation, and it completely failed. It was an utter failure. In the manufacturing of this this Land Rover, we were using two different standards. Some people were making it in metric, and some people were making it in the American standard. And when they put it together, it didn't work. Who would have thought? Metric and inches is different. And it failed because they used two different standards. Again, I can't go to my boss and say, hey, let's change this up. Let's make this just a little bit different. He won't go by two standards. And if a business functioned in that aspect, it would fail. So we have to all be united with one standard. We can't serve the devil and we can't serve God at the same time. We can't look like the world and call ourselves a Christian. There's a guy I used to work with, and man, he was always talking about being a Christian. He was a witness, you could say, for Christendom, but he did not live that way. His mouth was dirty. The music he listened to was dirty. The jokes he told was dirty. He'd invite coworkers to his house, and he would drink things he wasn't supposed to drink as a Christian. And he was a hypocrite. And one day, one of the other coworkers came to him, and this guy was a funny guy. And this other coworker came to him and says, what do you do? He said, you live your life however you want, and when you go to church, you get all your sins forgiven. And he thought it was going to be funny, but this guy blew up on him. Well, it was his standard that provoked him to say that.
That's right.
What kind of Christian can we call ourselves if we do and say whatever we want, if we live by a different God, and then we confess the name of Jesus, the world's going to look at us and say, no, there's something wrong with you. And the world does look at us and say, there's something wrong with the Christian church.
Right.
Because there's hypocrites. Because we need to have standards in place that prevent us from going the wrong way and from looking like the world. The path of a backslidden Christian. Number one, standards drop. Number two, convictions are changed. Number three, sins are committed. Number four, the Christian becomes worldly. That's the backslidden Christian. The standards are the first to go. Well, you say, well, I really don't have a whole lot of standards. Or you're on the short end of the stick. God wants us to put those standards in our life to help us from falling. If you have a problem with a specific sin and you're always going to the place where that sin is, you will eventually commit that sin. I have a problem with that. Well, just don't go there. I have a problem with that person. Well, then separate yourself from that person. What's more important, your relationship with God or your relationship with a person? I'm not saying cut them off where you can't be a witness to them, but hold your standard high in a way that you're a witness to them. And that's what happens. You have people that are their own way and you have dealings with them. When they're in trouble, they don't go to the other person that's committing the sin. They come to the Christian and say, you got things figured out. How do I live my life right? Because you've set a standard right. Bible feeds the spirit. The word of God, the commandments, they feed the spirit. Standards control the flesh. My flesh wants to do some wicked stuff, but I got standards I set. I'm not going to do that stuff. Why? You're going to have to go through my standard first. Because it won't change. You get through that standard first, and then you'll get to me. And then you start working on the spirit. But as I said, the standards are normally the first thing to fall. Last point, and then we'll close this up. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 22. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles. I will set up my standard to the people. And they shall bring their sons in their arms, and their daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. God went to the Jews. God went to Abraham and said, I have called you. not just to be a spiritual person, but he's called them to be a witness. So if you take my witness and you hold it high, he says the Gentiles will come to you because you are a peculiar people. I have set you aside that you could be a preacher and a witness amongst the nations. And Jesus came to them and they refused him. And they rejected him. So then in turn, Jesus turned to the Christian, to the Gentiles, and he turned to them, and now we are his mouthpiece. John chapter 3, we know the faithful verse, John 3:16. What's right before that? And Jesus said, the Lord God, behold, I will lift up my... I'm sorry. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Moses lifted up that serpent. They were all getting bitten. They were dying. They made a brazen serpent. They lifted it up and they looked to it and they were healed. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ is talking about lifting up a standard. What's the standard? We are the show God standard. How is Christ lifted up? It's through us. We are to lift up Christ. Once that happens, people are drawn to us. We can be a witness to them and show them the gospel because of God's standard. In Noah's day, a lot of people think about that every so often, as in the days of Noah. Man, they were doing wicked stuff back then, right? They're doing wicked stuff today. But as in the days of Noah, what was wrong there? They had no standards. They were willing to do anything, and they were doing anything. So much so that the thoughts of their mind were all corrupt. Lot. Lot was with his uncle Abraham. Abraham had some standards. Lot learned those standards. But Lot's standards wavered. Abraham says, there's too much contention. Pick your area, and you go there, I'll go the other way. Lot chose Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, at first he chose the land. The land looked nice. And then he saw the world, Sodom and Gomorrah. And he looked at that, and he said, okay, this one time, I'll change a little bit. And then his standards dropped. And we know that horrible story. God went in to destroy that land. Man, Lot was a mess. Lot was a mess. Because his standards dropped. Eve broke her standard. God said, don't eat of the fruit. She said, don't even look on it. Don't look on it. What? Did God say don't look on it? Well, it's not recorded that God said that, but she said that. Don't even look on the fruit. Well, she looked at the fruit. That was a standard set in place. I don't know if Adam set up that standard, Eve set up that standard, but hey, we're going to avoid this tree at all costs. We're not going to look upon it. She looked upon it. And as a result, all of mankind fell. It wasn't just Eve. Adam looked too. Adam's standard dropped. He was influenced by somebody. But it's by one man, sin entered into the world. That was Adam. But Joseph, as for me and my house, he has some standards. We will serve the Lord. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we will not bow down and worship you. We have some standards, and we're not going to waver. Kill us, I don't care. We are going to serve the Almighty God. And nothing is going to change that. So this is an easy standard to stay still. It's pretty hard to get this one to change. Now, I have some protective covers on it that I keep it safe. And also, I don't know if you notice there's a sticker on there. There's somebody that calibrates that. Every 6 months, they grab all my tools and they calibrate them all, make sure that everything's just right, according to his standard. And then his standard is also sent out to somebody else and they check it. So there's all kind of things in place to make sure this standard stays right. And if it's not right, it's discarded. Really hard to change the standard. You know, this little $5 standard, $10 standard, I don't know how much it costs. But it does not waver. It's just a little piece of metal. What is our standard like? Where are our standards set? Does your standards waver? Let's go to the Lord in prayer.